This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to the radio ministry of the Christian Crusaders. Conducting our service today is the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson. Information on how to order tapes, CDs, or printed copies of this service will be given at the close of the program. We are happy you chose to worship with us today and invite you to join us every Sunday on this station.
Remember whose child you are. This is a counsel which some parents give to their children to guide them in their behavior. It was a counsel St. Paul gave to the Christians in Philippi. We'll talk about it in the sermon today. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we pray that as the redeemed children of God, those who live in a personal relationship with Jesus Christ may be mindful of the way that we walk. Grant, Holy Spirit, that you may so indwell within us that it may be our desire to live according to your will, that truly we may say, have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. So bless us in the study of your word. Grant that it may draw us closer to you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Friends in Christ, remember whose child you are. This is a counsel which some parents give to their children to guide them in their behavior. It was a counsel St. Paul, sitting inside the walls of a Roman prison, gave to the Christians in Philippi. Remember whose children you are. When we have entered into a personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ our Lord, we have become reconciled to God. That is, the barrier of sin has been broken down, and we can live in an intimate, personal fellowship with Him. As a result of that, there are some great changes that take place within our own being. We are not the same people anymore. St. Paul said it so well when he wrote to the Corinthians, "If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come." Now, after our salvation is certain in Jesus Christ, God is anxious to make us more like the Lord every single day. Now, this is what we know in Christian theology as sanctification. The Christian becomes a brand new person. And St. Paul was very, very concerned about it. He was concerned about his reputation. Not so much what it meant to him personally, but what it really meant as far as the kingdom of God is concerned. So in this first chapter of Philippians, he is talking to them about their lifestyle and what's going on. And he writes concerning his own self, "I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now as always Christ will be exalted in my body." In other words, what he wanted to do was live such a life that the people could see the difference in him, and they would say, "What is it?" And then others would say, "He claims to be a Christian, a follower of Jesus Christ." Now that's what Paul wanted as a reputation for his own self, and he wanted the same for the people who were Christians out in Philippi. So when he writes this letter to them, he says, "Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ." No matter what the circumstances are, you just try to live as a Christian, and the Holy Spirit will empower you to do such. "Then whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in the Spirit, contending as one man for the faith of the gospel, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. This is a sign to them that they will be destroyed, but that you will be saved, and that by God." In other words, he was delighted when he heard about the people in Philippi, and that among them there was that group of Christians. They stood out. They were different than the rest of the group. So he says, continue that way. In other words, always be aware of this, whose child you really are. Now, this interchange that we're talking about that takes place in the life of the Christian is something far more than just simply making some kind of resolutions, whether it's on New Year's Eve or whenever it may be. For example, let's say that here's a person who has not been very nice around the house. The father has not been the father that he wanted to be. So he says, "I'm going to be different. I'm going to really show those kids what a real father is." See, that's kind of a human thing. It's on the surface, and it probably is not going to last beyond a week or so. Oh, he may take them to a ball game. He may read to them at night. Whatever it might be, his pattern of behavior has changed. That is not what Paul is talking about. Paul says that this change which takes place, that sort of gives us a reputation because it's over the long spell, is one that has been worked on by the Holy Spirit who dwells within us. In other words, then we say, "I'm not just doing this because I have to. I'm doing this because I want to. It's a part of my life. It's a way that I live." Paul is telling these people what the Lord has done and is doing for them. It is a part of his new life. We have a sinful nature, and we talk about it often, and we can't get far away from it. But it is important for us to know that that sinful nature can be molded and made into something which is quite beautiful. And we get a new reputation as we live among our fellow men. And that's what the scriptures are talking about today. It's an ongoing thing. You know, friend, if we live to be 100 years of age, in the very last days of our lives, the Holy Spirit will be working on the kind of a life that God wants us to live, a life that is pleasing and acceptable to him. It is never over, that perfecting, but we have come a long ways from when we first met Jesus and he began to do his work in our lives. Now, when our behavior begins to change, that's when we get different kinds of responses. For example, it's a thrilling thing when you see somebody who is a believer in Christ and is willing to make it known wherever he or she may go. When you meet that person, you solicit their friendship right away. You want them as a part of your group. This could be a small group of high school or junior high school young people. Here's a new person who comes into the community. And it's one of the first days of school, and they're looking around, and here is this young lady or young man. You begin to get acquainted, and pretty soon the person talks about the faith in one way or another. It may just be, well, on Sunday our family goes to this particular church and so forth and so on. You say, this is the kind of a person that we want to have in our own little group. It's interesting to see how the young people have their own little groups, and we often think of just the gangs and some of the bad things that can happen there. But many of these young people are in groups where they are basically strong Christian people willing to give an account for the faith. And they're always looking for somebody to join them, to solicit them. And that doesn't change very much as we get older and a new family comes to town and they come to our church and visit, and we see that, man, they have some of the same feelings that we do about the Christian faith, and they have a background like we had, and they will strengthen our congregation, and it's going to be nice to have them. So we do everything we can to solicit these people to become a part of us, and they join our congregation. And we are happy that they do, and that this is right. We need them, the new people, coming with a fresh breeze of but a personal faith in Jesus Christ, and they need us. But we must also realize that we are in this world, but we are not of it. We cannot seclude ourselves and become a little social island, and nobody can break into the group. This is not what our Lord wants at all. He was very concerned that we be out there and we make our influence felt wherever we had that opportunity. But it is during these times that we find ourselves outside of our group that there is a real temptation to adjust our living so that we do not offend the unbeliever. We walk among them, and it is during this time that we walk among them that the Word of God gives us good advice in these words, "Remember whose child you are." See, that's what Paul is talking about when he sits there not knowing whether he's going to be killed the next day or when it's going to be, that he could just be stable, that he could be consistent with his life, that they could say, man, even in death's row, this fellow is no different than when we first met him. He continually points us to Jesus Christ. There are going to be some different responses when people begin to understand just who we are. If we are very dynamic in our faith, we're going to be praised and loved by that group that I have just described. But there is a negative side of it too, and that is that there are some who will be very critical of you. They will exclude you from their group. They're uncomfortable around you, whether you're teenagers or whether you're in mid-age. We like to have our own, and that's fine, because the reason that we like to have our own is the others do not want us. They're uncomfortable having us around. They are tempted to exclude us rather harshly. It's at this time that Paul says, don't be ashamed of who you are. Be true to the Lord. Don't adjust your lifestyle. That is an important lesson for us to learn. Now, to conclude this sermon, I want to tell a rather lengthy story because I think it could communicate at least to some, and it is a very, very worked out, lived out example of what we see in this text today. And then at the end, I want to have you hear George Beverly Shea sing that great old gospel hymn that he has sung for so many years, "Have Thine Own Way, Lord." And between all of these things that are happening, maybe we can take a message home with us. It is important for us to remember who our parents are. Zach Johnson, do you know him? Well, if you answer by saying no, it is evident that you either do not live in Iowa or that you have no real interest in the world of golf. In case you do not know who Zach Johnson is, let me tell you. On Easter Sunday, April 8th of this year, Zach won the PGA Masters Golf Tournament, one of the great tournaments in the whole golfing arena. On May 20th of this year, Zach Johnson won the PGA AT&T Classic at Duluth, Georgia. And again, we see him as one of the world's strongest golfers. When Zach finished the Masters and had won the tournament, he said that his faith helped him to keep his composure during an intense pressure situation. From news items since then, we have learned that Zach Johnson is a committed Christian and that he is not ashamed to tell others about his relationship with Christ. He is more than anxious to let them know that it's in his heart and it flows out of his heart as a natural experience of where he stands in relationship to God. So on that day, because this is the way he evidently thinks and talks, it was evident that he said, I thank God that he helped me in those times, not to win necessarily, but to have composure during an intense pressure situation. Now, there are different responses to that. When I heard it, and I heard it, I was simply thrilled. I had no idea about this person's religious background. I was thrilled to hear that a young man like that would say right out loud, I thank God. He was not saying that God had given him the victory. Probably God was not any more concerned about Zach getting it than Tiger. But it was the fact that in that hour when he was so terribly tense, there was an inner peace within him because Christ was there and probably was giving him a good sense of values that golf is still number two, Zach. Your relationship with me is number one. And so when I saw that all lived out on a golf course on Easter Sunday, I could only say, thank you, God. I have just met, though I have never seen him in the flesh, I have just met my new brother in Jesus Christ. Now, there is a negative reaction to this too. And what is the negative reaction? Well, it was penned by one whose name is Bob Ryan. Bob Ryan is a columnist for the Boston Globe. And this is part of his comment. Zach Johnson won because he played the best golf. No question about that. He deserved to win, and he did win. But his crediting the Lord was silly and offensive. Ryan continues to write, believe me, plenty of people have emailed me to object to his irrelevant flouting of his faith. Mixing sports and religion is very bad, Mr. Ryan said. One has nothing to do with the other. Isn't that interesting? It's at this time that I could well imagine that Zach Johnson or anybody else could say, well, maybe I ought to tune this down just a little bit. I don't know how you respond to Zach Johnson's comments, but I believe that St. Paul would have said to him, bravo, Zach. That's what I meant when I wrote to the Philippian Christians not to be ashamed of their relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, even if it does cause some hardship. Let people know where you stand. And you do not have to do it obnoxiously. You don't have to say, well, now is a time when maybe I can preach a little sermon. He did not do this. It flowed naturally out of his own being. I just thank God for the strength he gave me in a very tense situation. He remembered who his father was. It is in the everyday things of life that our testimony really counts. When we gain a reputation, not for our own purpose, not that people would be so in love with us, but rather that they may understand that within our heart there lives a Savior who has made our lives different. It is in the everyday of life that our testimony really, really counts, friend. Let me say it again. It is our relationship with the Lord Jesus that builds our Christian reputation. Many sermons were preached that Sunday that Zach Johnson won the Masters Tournament. It was Easter. And thank God for every one of those sermons that lifted high the crucified and the risen Lord Jesus Christ. But one of the most powerful ones of them all didn't mention the resurrection. You can be sure that if you talked with a Christian for just a few seconds, that would have come out. But the part that the general public caught was, I have a living Lord who is with me in very tense times. This is something that people can lay hold of. This is something that they can understand. This is a reputation that you carry with you through your life, if the Holy Spirit is permitted to continue to keep talking to you. Can't you hear some young person say, wow, Zach not only won the tournament, Zach is a Christian. And can't you hear probably some 80-year-old lady who knows nothing about golf and has no interest in it say, who is that Christian golfer who won the tournament yesterday? I've taken a long time on this illustration, but I think it tells us clearly what Jesus wants us to do. And so Paul said to the people at Philippi, don't forget whose child you are. And now let's listen as George Beverly Shea sings that great, great hymn, Have Thine Own Way, Lord. Amen.
Have Thine Own Way, Lord. Have Thine Own Way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after Thy will.
Have Thine Own Way, Lord.
Father in heaven, we pray that your church may bring hope to this blessed land of ours. We pray, O God, that we may make the message very clear, that unless we as individuals and as a nation know what it is to repent and to place our trust in the Lord Jesus, there is very little hope for a peace that is lasting. So grant that your church may be faithful in this proclamation. We realize that the cost can be great, but may we be found faithful, and may all people know from whence we have come and whose children we are. In Jesus' name, amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. We pray today's gospel message may comfort and guide you as you walk in fellowship with the Lord. As a nonprofit ministry, Christian Crusaders is dependent upon the free will donations of our listening family. Estate gifts, large and small, have become a significant part of our ministry. Please consider a final gift as part of your estate planning. For information on how to include Christian Crusaders in your will, call us toll-free at 1-888-693-2484. Our mailing address is Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Cassette tapes, CDs, and printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. However, a gift of $2.50 will cover production and mailing costs. Please address your request to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Our toll-free telephone number is 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 277-0924. Conducting our service was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, Pastor Emeritus of Nazareth Lutheran Church, Cedar Falls, Iowa, and Radio Pastor of Christian Crusaders, now in its 71st year of regular Sunday worship broadcasting.